and welcome to Pints and Pairings. Tonight's a special broadcast of Pints and Pairings. We're broadcasting live from the Village Commons Market and the Beer Cave at 231 Village Commons Boulevard down in Camarillo, California. Curtis, we've got a room full of people right now.
It's fantastic.
They all just got really quiet to look at us come out of that break.
Well, because they know that that means, even though we haven't told them about this, but they know that there must be another beer coming.
That's true. It's beer 30.
It is. It's beer 30.
Almost, too. It's like 7:25, so we're really coming up on beer 30.
And we've got a special one here, too. We're tasting the Barrel House Brewing Company.
You're gushing already.
I know.
You can't get the name out. We're talking about Barrel House Brewing, located up in Paso Robles, California. We've had Jeff from Local Craft Distribution, who's been able to supply us with some really great bottles of the Barrel House Brewing product. And as you said, we're going to jump over one of their beers in the lineup to get to this IPA.
Yeah, we don't want it. Nah.
We do want it.
Oh,
but
no, that's true. We just decided to go because...
Go big or go home.
Right. You know, if you're at a beer tasting, what's a beer tasting without an IPA? And so we wanted to make sure that we got to this evening. We didn't leave it behind. So we've got the Barrel House Brewing IPA. It's called the India Pale Ale for anyone who is interested.
I gotta look at the monitor and make sure I turn the bottle the right way.
It's very easy to see. It says India Pale Ale. So there'll be no mistaking when you walk in and you pick up your bottle. So one of the things that I love is IPAs.
They don't get the name hop head said by IPAs. When we talk about an IPA, the hop presence has got to be there. I mean, anything IPA in name and you put it to your nose, there's no grassy, resiny, piney, or heavy citrus kind of aroma, send it back.
Right, and so we just finished with their Kolsch, and which was the Templeton, and that was what we called a West Coast Kolsch. Now, this is a West Coast IPA, and the reason that we're using the term West Coast, that just means everything's amped up a little bit.
It is, and it's 7.2% coming in at 83 IBUs.
Yeah, that's no regular IPA. We're jumping up a notch on this one. It has an incredible malt backbone balanced by some of the best assertive hop bitterness and flavor that I can remember in past beers.
And I cheated just a little bit. I looked at the tasting notes, and the primary three words that they're using are hoppy, dank, and mango. Now, I'm not getting the mango per se, but I am getting more of a passion fruit. It's a little more muddled for me than mango, but the dankiness is definitely there. When we say dank about an IPA or a farmhouse or Saison-style beer, it really elicits a feeling of like wet grass or being near a pond. So that dankness is a wet vibe. It doesn't mean that it's literally got a off-putting nose or aroma, but it does give you kind of that reminiscent feel of something that's near an outdoor wet area.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. One of the master cicerones, so there's in the neighborhood of like six or seven of them. Very few women are in that, but the one that I know of, her name is Nicole Ernie, and she was telling, I had listened to a podcast with her, and she was... she made a very good case about using words like dank, and that dank doesn't mean anything. And and so it's hard. Our perceptions of dank from one person to the other is very subjective.
Most
and
definitely.
So one of the things that we try to do is we try and pick out mango, like it's saying here, mango or grass or so. These are things that people have a concrete grasp.
You know, but I would argue, although I agree with her in the sense that you want to give people a path, a direction to understand and have a familiarity with, also eliciting some kind of terminology that brings them back to a place. Because how many times on the show have we talked about sense memory and what you ate as a kid or where you played as a kid are going to be totally different than me. But that doesn't mean we can't use the same word and elicit two different sets of memories and two different sets of familiarity. And as long as we are talking the same language in that regard, it doesn't matter if it's concrete or distinct.
Well, yes. I agree with you.
Yes.
Because I go back and forth with that. Because those words mean something to us, and so it's hard to kind of get rid of them. But they do. They elicit some sort of memory, whether it's, you know, walking into a party and it's just heavy with a toke, you know, and everything else. Or if you're it's a dirty gym sock. I mean, whatever dank means to you. I mean, it can go from weed to gym socks. And so where does it lie? And so that's why I'm just trying to pull it together just a little bit. But you were doing a very good job of that. And I was just making the point on the dank. But you're talking about wet earth or basement or, you know, some of these other things that have a definite odor to them.
Now, what's exciting about this beer, though, is as we move away from the dankness, as it warms up, there's a little breakdown in there that almost gives me, if I really take a big whiff, almost a little bit of like a cigar box and a pinch of tobacco. It's just got this really cool, like, not cedar in or redwood, because I think that's too intense. If you say those again, we're talking about distinct versus familiarity. They're too distinct to say redwood or cedar. But there's a little bit of a cigar box there.
Humidor.
And it's balanced, though, by some of that malty fruitiness that we were talking about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could definitely pull that just very subtle tobacco, humidor, cedar smell. You know, and when you walk into a humidor, it's humid already, you know. And so as you're sniffing this in, you get that sense as well. It's, sure. It's filling your nose up.
Now, going back to the Kolsch segment with Barrel House Brewing that we were talking about previously, though, there was a reference to the Kolsch being overpowered by like a steak, something fatty and minerally and well with a great char. This IPA on the other end of the spectrum stand up with that, because that humidor component is a natural pairing for a minerally irony, just flame broiled smokiness.
Right. And there have been a couple backhanded suggestions coming from the audience here, and Cool Ranch Doritos was one.
There's nothing wrong with Cool Ranch Doritos. I've never met a Dorito flavor I don't like.
So I mean, this is the kind of flavors we're talking about that this beer stands up to. I mean, if it can stand up to Cool Ranch Doritos, this beer could stand up to anything.
No, most definitely. And when we look at the flavors that are the aroma, not even the flavors, because, again, the majority of our tasting is going to come out of the olfactory. It's going to be what we smell up front. You taste with your eyes and with your nose before it ever gets to your mouth. So when we're looking at the breakdown of this glass, smoking meats, whether it be a pork or even game birds, are going to be a really cool pairing with this, because you're going to get some of that fatty, gamey richness that's going to stand up to, again, the humidor component that we talked about. But there's still enough hoppiness. There's enough piney resin in the forefront of this beer that would really balance some of the smokier notes of taking either, like I said, a game bird or maybe even some good double thick pork chops that you're going to get with a really light like barbecue sauce. All those things are going to either raise up the sweetness or the smokiness of this beer, or they're going to balance back down some of those notes.
Okay, so I have two really great
things.
I like
when you get really excited and the hand gestures come.
So, because your game bird or your smoked made me think of smoked salmon. Okay, so we've got these herbal citrusy notes coming out of the beer, and the smoked salmon is going to have those same kind of flavor you're talking about, the fatty, the smoke, and not just any smoked salmon. No, please. Pacific Northwest smoked salmon. Don't do any of this farm fresh, Atlantic, whatever it is. That's fake fish. Get yourself, not that I'm opinionated about my salmon.
No, never.
But get a smoked salmon, Pacific Northwest salmon, and you end up getting some of those. But picking the rub, and so that you're going to put on that, whatever your season is, something that has a little tartness. And so we're talking like the lemon peppers, those kinds of things on top of it that would draw some sort of connection between the hop flavors and what's in the food that you're eating.
But I have to tell you, I'm really excited about this cheese platter that Sammy's put in front of us. You know, he's really kind of almost guiding us around by the nose with these cheeses. I just had a big cube and hunk of the Munster cheese. Mm. And the Munster is just creamy enough. There's just enough nuttiness in there that it got my mind going down a creamy Italian dish direction. Either a great Alfredo with some fresh herb or like a strong manicotti. You got a great ricotta cheese in the middle. You've got the nuttiness in the pasta. And you throw a really kind of herby, tangy tomato base, maybe even a little pinch of spice. What's happened with the Munster cheese and what I think would have happened with the ricotta and that manicotti style is the cheese is taking the sweetness of the beer and pulling it out. It's saying, hey, there's malt in there. There's sweetness that goes with the cream component of what I've got to offer. But on top of that, if you put in a little bit spicy, herby tomato base, you're going to get some of those resin and piney and herbalistic notes back from the hops that are in this beer.
I think you're onto something with the manicotti. One of the things that I struggle so much with is finding something more unique to pair with a pasta than a brown ale. And those go really well. What you're talking about with the tangy tomato, but then when you think about ricotta, you're adding all these other spices into the ricotta as well. I think you could put those, like the spices you're talking about, into the ricotta, and I think it would go really well with this beer. Plus, it's going to sit so heavy, the ricotta sits so heavy on your palate, you're begging for a beer that can cleanse that palate. Now, here's the number two.
Hit me with the number two.
Because we got sidetracked there.
Who does number two work for?
And this is it. Here it is. I'm going the grilled fruit direction.
Okay.
Okay, so peaches. We were talking about mangoes because it's in the thing a little bit in the description. But I'm talking about grilled peaches, so we're getting that smoky flavor again.
Okay.
Nice char on that. Maybe as you're putting it on there, maybe a little bit of brown sugar on top of it.
Just enough sweetness to bring out the malt character.
Right. And then a really nice, fresh, homemade, light whipped cream in there.
You can't go wrong with fresh whipped cream. Don't buy the stuff in the tub. Get some whole, heavy
cool
cream,
whip.
Whipping cream. You can sprinkle. You know what's really cool, too, about heavy whipping cream and making your own at home now? There are so many spice shops that are carrying infused sugars. You can sprinkle any infused sugar into the whipped cream you want and whip it up real nice, and you're going to create a flavored whipped cream.
Absolutely. So you could even put a little bit of brown sugar into that whipped cream as well instead of the other, which would bring those caramelized flavors. And we're talking the sweeter, caramel-like malt flavors that are in this beer.
But with that tropical direction that the brewers are trying to get us into with the mango description and that kind of perception, what if we did a great coconut-infused sugar, whip that into the whipped cream. So now you got grilled peaches. You could do a little bit of fresh basil for some vibrancy and some just herb component, and then that coconut-infused whipped cream to give you a muddled nuttiness.
Fabulous. That is where it at. One of the things I always forget to think about with fruit and some of these other things, sweet things, is adding a little bit of basil in it and how that just explodes everything.
It does. Basil, very similar to salts and cilantro and parsley, is one of those natural flavor enhancers. It has its own distinct flavor, but when you put it next to another ingredient, they both seem to be just enhanced and really exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I want to do, Curtis, is I'm reading the bottle here for the IPA, and they're taking this IPA with Simcoe, Cascade, and Chinook hops. That's three different variations, three varieties that are being used throughout the brewing process and probably the boil, maybe even a little dry hopping. Can you give us some characteristics, some perspective on those three hops, what they're bringing to the bottle?
Well, you're looking at Simcoe, that's where we're getting those tropical flavors. And so that, unfortunately, Simcoe can be unpleasant to really pleasant. And the unpleasantness is cat pee. Ugh. And bubble gum, and the pleasant is tropical flavors.
See how sweet he was there? He said right. Cat pee. You mean cat piss.
Cat piss. But then going all the way to these tropical fruit flavors.
Sure, and that's where the brewer's getting the mango description, right?
And Cascade is all the citrus kinds of things that we're finding. The grapefruity, those kinds of things. The Chinook, we're getting the piney kinds of flavors.
Okay.
So that blend of those is just is where it keeps the Simcoe from being too overpowering and where it keeps the other ones from becoming too resinous or too citric.
And those three hops seem to be a great natural trio. We see that combination used in a lot of different beers and a lot of different breweries, but also in different variations. As the beer warms up, it's moving through those spectrums. So initially we are going to get a little more piney, resiny hop presence. But as it's starting to warm, we're getting some more of those subdued citrus and tropical fruits that are coming out. So it's kind of nice. You don't want to guzzle your beer unless you're super thirsty, super hot day, and you're sweating from the brow. I would not recommend guzzling this kind of beer right off the bat. If you want to do that, go get yourself a light beer or the Kolsch from earlier, because it's going to be less complex. And as it warms, it's not going to be as distinct.
Right. And actually, in the aftertaste, you get all of it. So after everything has gone by, you just concentrate on what you have. You have this tropical bubblegum kind of flavor, followed by just a tiny bit of like orange zest, orange peel. And then it goes into the resiny notes. So, I mean, there's any, if you're looking at anything, pairing ideas, anything that has those kinds of components in it would be natural pairings for this. And I'm thinking of one right now where it's a truffle made by a local chocolatier here who uses Earl Grey tea in his ganache. And Earl Grey tea has an orange peel oil, a special kind of orange, but it has this orange oil in it. And so it has a citrus sort of flavor. So you think of like those dark chocolate covered orange wheels that we've had growing up as kids. All right. That tasted so good. That's kind of the play here, only on the decadent, you know, super fancy chocolate kind of side. But you look at pairing something that has those kind like that chocolate with this, those because of those flavors that are pulling it together, those would be kind of the flavors that would work together.
You know, the more shows we do, the more times I try to bring in the vegetarian component, because I know we've got friends and family who follow a vegetarian diet, and I don't want to leave them behind. Thinking through, there's been so many times where we've talked about curries, and I don't want to say that I want to pair a curry with this, but it definitely got my mind moving. What if we did something really cool, like a squash fricassee, or almost like just a vegetable stir fry, where we're taking squash and some peas, maybe some potato or parsnip, and we're getting some of that astringency and that distinct nuttiness and natural sweetness that are coming out of those root vegetables, and we're putting in some of those spices, and again, at the last minute, throwing in some fresh herb, whether it be parsley or maybe even like a little tarragon for a pinch of maybe like licorice-y aspect to bring out some of the depth of these hops.
I think the parsley, now I'm not a parsley fan.
It can be really intense. Yeah. Parsley, I've last 3 weeks in a row, we've either gotten parsley or cilantro in our CSA box, especially fresh right off the farm pick that morning. That stuff can be really, really vibrant in your nose.
Right. So cilantro, I can eat I can get that little bunch in my CSA box and just eat that whole thing.
You
right
are
there.
A trooper, my friend.
But parsley, I cannot. It takes very little parsley is my threshold. But I think in this beer, though, what you're talking about is a fabulous complement to what's happening, and it would pull out those beer the dank notes that we're talking about of the hop flavors that are kind of sitting there hidden, just waiting for something to pull it out. And I think that the parsley would do that. Now, we always go outside of the box, and we're always pulling these in.
Bring us back to the ordinary.
I just had a chunk of cheddar. Okay.
Chunk of cheddar.
Cheddar and IPAs, very good.
Jeff's right, Johnny, on the spot, too. I could use a fresh pour in my glass.
Cheddar Jack, Pepper Jack, and some of these sharp cheeses, definitely. And then if it's got that little bit of jalapeno spice in it, all the better.
It's a knockout, huh?
It is. So the timer's about ready to go off, telling us we got about 5 minutes left. So if there's anyone who would like to talk to us about their beer experience, come on up. Everyone is engaged in their conversations.
Which is the way we want it to be, though, because we're bringing together a lot of great people. And when we talk about pints and pairings, it's not just about food and beer. It's the pint and the pairing of people, or the pint and the conversation. And so I think, if nothing else, it's mission accomplished tonight. If we were to stop right now and shut all the equipment down, it would be a successful night, because people are talking about the beer. They're trying it with chips and salsa. They're trying it with cheese. They're conversing about their day. And at the very heart of what we're trying to do is bring together that experience. I would be curious, though, and I might be calling on my man in the Boston cap to give me what he thinks an IPA partners well, because I know for a fact that he brews and roasts coffee. And he can talk about the complexity and the nuances of different layers of flavor which this beer is giving us. So if not now, at the end of the broadcast, we're going to get some feedback from him and put that up on the website about what he thinks this beer would go well with. One more item that I want to talk about, though, is possibly a fried rice, keeping it really simple. Because typically in a fried rice dish, it could be as few ingredients as, you know, rice, a meat, and a vegetable, or as complex as those three things plus different variations of each one. But if you went with a real basic brown rice a little bit of a sesame oil, and maybe some scrambled egg to heighten that protein and that nuttiness of the sesame oil. You put in, for me, if you want to go like real Korean-style fried rice or Hawaiian-style fried rice, you do a great cured and salty ham cube.
Spam.
Not spam. That's a little too salty.
That is Hawaiian.
Yeah,
it is. If you're saying Hawaiian, it's spam.
You're right. You caught me on that one. But I think spam on this case would be too processed and a little too salty.
No.
But if you want the great cured ham, cubed it up, and you threw in some peas and maybe a little bit of green onion, that right there is a great pairing for me to finish the night with, because I would eat a bowl of that fried rice, just enough soy sauce to add a little saltiness back in as well, and then finish off a bomber of this beer.
So my wife graduated high school in Hawaii, and her parents still live there, so we get to go back and visit every once in a while. Spam is huge in Hawaii.
They have their own sushi item made of spam.
It's spam musubi, and it is fabulous. So it's rice, it's sushi rice, a chunk of spam, and then it's wrapped in nori. You know, so you've got the salty ham bit, you've got the sweet sushi rice, and then you've got the I don't know, do we call it dank? The herbal flavor of seaweed.
It's green. I wouldn't call it dank, but it's definitely green, and it's full of vitamins. And you know, people don't think that vitamins have a flavor, but if you jam pack a beverage or a food item with vitamins and minerals, you know what I'm talking about. But the nori, I mean, really is just dried out ground seaweed that's reconstituted into a paste and baked until it's basically a flat sheet of paper.
Yeah.
So you're getting a really intense mineraliness and an herbaceousness from that. And I don't dislike spam. I grew up on spam as well. I just wasn't thinking about putting in my fried rice, but I like your pairing.
Well, and the only reason that I say that is because I had that same kind of feeling growing up, as you looked down your nose at spam until I started seeing locals eating it all over the place, and I'm like, okay, let me give it a shot. So I've kind of had a spam renaissance of sorts, and so I can deal with the saltiness, and I think that this beer is certainly going to wash all that out.
I think people's typical aversion to spam is probably because of the vessel. Like when you tear that lid off and you turn the can upside down and it goes and it falls down to the plate. You know that, but ultimately if you fry it up right and you dice it in with some other great ingredients, you've got another salty, just delicious meat that mixes in well. This beer deserves a good partner. Again, we're talking about Barrel House Brewing's IPA coming in 8.3% with three different varieties of hops.
7.5.
Sorry.
7.2.
I got too excited. I want to go to the big alcohol beer.
After you've had three of them, it's like 8.3%.
There you go. I do think you want to do this beer justice. There's some complexity in here that we're pulling out and excited about that needs to be partnered properly.
Well, and just before I got sidetracked on spam,
it was like an 83 IBUs, by the way.
It was the fried rice, and I think maybe that's the one we should end on, because it you can put all of the vegetables in that you want and find those grassy flavors that would match the hop flavors. And the sesame, I think, just is, this beer was made for a sesame fry.
Before we close out, too, if we're going to stick with the fried rice as our closer, try a black sesame. There's enough toastiness in a black sesame that I think gives you a little bit of flexibility and fun. I mean, a basic sesame is a great choice, and you should always have a bottle of sesame oil in your cupboard, but I think even the black sesame seed oil is just obscure and unique enough to give you a nuance that people are going to be like, oh, what is that flavor? Why is it different than what I expect? But also, you don't have to have a wok to do fried rice. You know, people are concerned about making fried rice at home. You just need a good skillet and day-old rice. So if you made a rice dish from the previous day, put it in the refrigerator. That's your base for fried rice. You don't want to use fresh cooked rice as fried rice base. You want to make sure it's left over a day or two, it's dried out a little bit, and you can do it right in a skillet. Try it at home. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, use your fresh rice for your spam musubi. We'll just call it quits right there.
I like it. And you've been watching Pints and Pairings with Curtis.
Hi, hey there.
And I'm Jason with Everybody's Hungry. It's been a great segment with Barrel House Brewing IPA. We're going to come back in a few minutes and jump into another beer from Barrel House Brewing. But we're broadcasting tonight from Village Commons Market at 231 Village Commons Boulevard. Thanks to Sammy and the crew here. putting on a great party. Stay tuned because we got two more beers coming up from Barrel House Brewing.
Right. We got a whole nother hour of drinking to go.
What do you like to tell the listeners?
Let's eat, drink, and be hoppy.
Cheers.
Cheers.